Matthew chapter 1, beginning at verse 18. There's Bibles at the sides if you want one. Matthew chapter 1, verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they had come together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quickly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. And this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke from his sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but he knew her not until she had given birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus.
Good morning. Have all of you got one of these leaflets, Christmas? It's home produced by the church, and it's got details of our carol services and special services in this season. Could you give me a wave if you have a neighbour or someone living near you who you think has probably never been in this church or doesn't ever go to church and probably doesn't know too much about Jesus? Anyone possibly in this category? Okay. It's a bit of an anxiety. Some of the people in church today are my neighbours and they're waving. And what are they saying about me here? When I came to the parish, I felt strongly that I was meant to be a blessing rather than a curse to the people I was next to. And very quickly, God dropped into my heart someone near us who I just thought, I don't know that they ever see, I think they go week to week without speaking to anyone. They certainly have never been here. And I've been praying. I didn't come forward because I get a chance to speak quite often. But my prayer was, Lord, give me an opportunity. I don't know how to engineer it. If it's someone who works nights, you don't want to knock on the door all the time. And I've had so many little opportunities just to say a word. And I'm praying that this week I'm going to find the right time, or God will engineer a moment when I give this person one of these. And I just, before I speak, I want to invite you, if you don't give it this week, you've missed it. So can I ask you to just think, who has God placed on your heart and no one else is going to take this to them or say the word of invitation? They're never going to come if you don't. So you should all now be feeling really guilty. Now, of course not. I don't want that. God doesn't want that. But if I don't do it, no one else will do it. I know that's the truth. The buck stops with me. And the theme today is about saying yes to God. Mary and Joseph said their yes to God. And if you're here in church, it's probably because you are already a follower of Jesus. You've already said yes to God in a number of different ways at different times of your life. But I think, what easier way is there to invite someone than at Christmas? So just have a think, who is God nudging you to bless with good news? So that's not the sermon, that's just something that's in my mind. The theme then is saying yes to God. At the 9:30 service, we sang the Magnificat. Give me a wave if you know what the Magnificat is. Oh, God bless the others. It's a great song of the church that's been sung for 2,000 years. Mary sang a song and sometimes put to modern music, Tell Out My Soul the Greatness of the Lord. It's in Luke 1, because it was wonderful to hear the story of God, that testimony of God blessing with a baby. And she sang a song and said, from this day, all generations are going to call me blessed. Now, I grew up in a Protestant church that was very fearful about talking about the Blessed Virgin Mary. at any time. It's like, that's not what we do. But it turns out she is very blessed, more blessed than any other woman, because she was the very one in the Greek Orthodox Church. They call her the Theotokos, the God-bearer, the one who brings God into the world. What an incredible thing to have on your CV. And she wasn't perfect. She needed a savior, just as I do. But she had an incredible, unique role in the economy of God to bring God into the world. But we all have that role as a Theotokos, to bear God, to bring Jesus to bear into our world in different ways. But this morning, rather than thinking so much, of course, the highlight of the Luke 1 narrative is where she says, when she's given this really big ask, let it be to me according to your word. In other words, okay. She says yes to God with no idea where that is going to lead, really, even though she's told that a sword will pierce her own soul too. There's pain in being obedient to God. If you find your discipleship is not painful or costly, you're not doing it right. That's how it is. It's always a cost to saying yes to God. And she knew it, and Joseph knew it. Sometimes you know in advance what the cost will be. Most of the time, it's a daily surrender. God, help me again to say yes. For those who are married, you know at the when you said those vows, you said, oh, yes. You had no idea where that was going to lead. And some of the time, it's really fun. And sometimes it's not. You don't know where your yes. It's a blank check that you give to another person. And for me, that mirrors what it means to be a follower of Jesus. We say, okay, yes, God, wherever this blank check will lead, you are, Jesus is Lord. So I'm going to start my sermon very soon now. So I haven't actually read anything on my piece of paper. Just as well, it's my shopping list, actually. But cohabitation. I remember growing up and hearing that word, and people in church would frown. But cohabitation is normative behavior in our country. I don't know the most recent stats, but I'd guess it's about 95% of people who go on to get married, at least first for some time, cohabit. And it was very different in first century Judea. There were extremely strict social and religious laws that governed the behavior of those who were betrothed. I like that word, betrothed. It sounds a bit quaint. I remember my parents talking about, a long time ago, when they were walking out together. You don't hear that. I thought they sounded so old-fashioned, whereas I was going out with someone. Whereas now, going out, no one goes out, you chill or something else that is way, I'm too old to know what the language is even. But in Deuteronomy 22, which I'm sure you know well, is the religious law of if a woman is found to be promiscuous before marriage, she's to be stoned to death. Oof, it's a bit harsh. And I thought how very different things are now to then. Because then, you know, people committed adultery and then were stoned, whereas now it's the other way around somehow. The people get stoned and go on to commit adultery. But, oh, thank you, you'll get there, you'll get there. This is all adds up to a problem, not only for Mary, but for her betrothed. And betrothed actually is a technical term that means you are married, it's just you haven't had the final part of the ceremony. And so Joseph is thinking, what on earth am I going to do? And he's the focus of Matthew 1 from verse 19. We read, Joseph was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace. And he had it in mind to divorce her quietly. So he'd have to divorce her, but he wants to do it quietly. So he's faithful to the law. So he knows God's law. He's read his Deuteronomy 22. He wants to follow God wholeheartedly. He knew what ought to be done, finding Mary's pregnant, and he knows he's not the dad. But then there's this turmoil in his heart, because he still loves her. He doesn't want her humiliated, let alone killed. So verse 19 continues. So Joseph was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace. But if he didn't, here's the problem, isn't he then flouting God's law that has told him very clearly what he ought to do? And so it says he's deeply troubled. I don't know if you've ever been deeply troubled. Just before the service, I was talking to someone who at times has been deeply troubled because I think, what am I going to do with this choice? What does God really want me to do in this? I've known a family who one of their family members had done something very bad, and so the family felt obliged to report that person to the police. That's an agonizing choice. You love someone, but you think the right thing to do is to do this. But how can I? It's going to mess up our relationship. And so I think that's something going on for Joseph. I mean, what would you do if you're in that sort of situation? And that's what lies behind the angelic message. Joseph, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, because this is of the Holy Spirit. And I used to think, well, if anyone's going to be afraid, it wouldn't be Joseph, it's Mary. She's the one with everything to lose in saying yes to God. But actually for Joseph too, and it ends in verse 24, Joseph did as the angel of the Lord commanded. He took her as his wife. And so this beautiful dual thing going on in him, he's wholeheartedly committed to God. He's a righteous man, but he's deeply compassionate to Mary as well. And I think that this moment, this situation describes the story being played out really at a cosmic level, because God, Almighty God, is wanting an intimate, committed, lifelong relationship with his beautiful creation made in his image. But he finds we're very far from being fit for him. And unlike Mary, this is no work of the Holy Spirit. The offense is in me and in you, rooted in selfishness and willful disloyalty. I naturally say no to God. I don't have to work myself up into a religious fervor. I naturally backslide. I naturally choose me rather than the will of God so often. I don't know how many of you like your Christmas crackers. It's something we pull our crackers and then we put on our crowns. For a day, I'm king. It's all a bit sad. I always wonder what the Queen does. I don't know. Well, let's just leave that thought. But it's very Isaiah 53. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to our own way. And we all do that. We say no. And yet God is a righteous God. Our disobedience deserves his punishment. And yet, though he's righteous, he's full of love. And he's just like Joseph. He never wants us to be put to shame or disgraced, even though that's the righteous requirement of his law. And so there's this struggle deep in the heart of God. What's it going to be, justice or mercy? And the answer, of course, is both. It has to be both. And how does that happen? Well, that's what Christmas is all about. The birth of you-know-who. And what Matthew calls him, first of all, is Emmanuel. It's a Hebrew word, joined together, God with us. One word, God with us. This is the only time that name appears in the New Testament, twice in Isaiah and once in Matthew. His name is to be Emmanuel, that God is with us. God moving in, dwelling with us. Who'd have thought it? Cohabiting with God. He wants to be sharing life in all its fullness. There's nothing casual about it, of course. In fact, it's exactly the opposite. It's the greatest possible commitment. And that's the other name. You shall give him the name Jesus. Why? And that name, Yeshua, means God saves, for he will save his people from their sins. Yeshua Mashiach, God saves in the anointed Jesus. And so this is all a love story. It's a wonderful, it's the greatest story of love. And like Joseph, God loves you, his bride. He longs to take you home to share his life. And the story of Joseph is God's call to us, his righteousness and his compassion. So how do we respond? I'm sure maybe everyone, or certainly most of you here, have said at some point, yes, Lord, that's what I want. I so need a savior. I don't know, I mean, we say confession quite often in church. I don't know whether you ever do it sort of on autopilot, sort of mentally saying, well, you remember last week, ditto. It's not a very full heart. But and there's other times you think, I have so screwed up things. I right now need a savior. I need someone. I need some forgiveness and I need deliverance. I need help, God. I don't know the last time you prayed like that. If like me, you pray it on your knees. I really mean this, Lord. Well, we're all in that place of needing it. We just sometimes forget. How do we respond? Well, it's as in the marriage service. All that I am, I give to you. All that I have, I share with you. God has said it to us in Jesus, in his birth and in his death. And we say it to him in our lives now. Lord, have it all. Mary says, let it be to me, according to your word. Yes, to God, even though it will be very costly. Joseph also says yes to God. He did as the Lord commanded. And I just want to leave you with the question, what is the Lord asking of you? And it's not a call to become a Christian if you're already a Christian, but it will be a call to obedience and following in whatever he's saying you need to do. And when I say my yes to God, sometimes it's a yes, but on my terms. I don't know if you've tried bargaining with God. I don't know why I possibly think I could arm wrestle him, but there are times I sort of want to make it a yes on my terms. And I just want to give you the opportunity to think, what has God asked of you, and you are living currently in a place of incomplete obedience? And actually that matters to God. Because until we say yes, his yes won't be fulfilled through us.